Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to address in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures. And we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're continuing with the Gospel of John, and presently we're in chapter 10. Last week we left off with verse 11, which I'll read again, and pick up 12 and 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And Dave, before we go on, this is a bit of what we've been talking about in our other segments. There are those who deceive, there are those who are in ministry, and not just in ministry, but there are those who are in it for themselves and are leading many astray and care not for the souls of the people mm-hmm. who follow them.
Mm-hmm. The hireling, of course, is quite obvious. Jesus explains it. He doesn't really have a heart for the sheep. He doesn't know the shepherd. He's not the shepherd, of course. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Next verse. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. You hire someone to do a job and his heart isn't in it, he can neglect his duties, and particularly when a wolf comes and his life is in danger, then he flees. And there are people who have become pastors because it's a good job. In Europe, it pays well.
Well, state,
it's a state church. Mm-hmm. They get the salary from the state. And you get some prestige. People look up to you. People look up to Catholic priests. They used to, at least. Maybe now they have some second thoughts. But certainly every priest shouldn't be tarred with the same brush as those who are pedophiles. But there are people who have just gone into this as a profession. And you can see it in their actions. You can hear it in their sermons. They're not going to offend anyone. They're not going to tell the truth. Well, Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he says the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We talked about that in the past. They want the compliments of the people. They don't want to be a Jeremiah and say what God wants them to say, because then they might kill you or you lose your job. We have pulpit committees and they hire someone. Well, if you were hired by this group, then they could fire you. Therefore, you must be very careful. I think this is what Jesus is talking about. A false shepherd who claims to be the shepherd of the sheep, a shepherd under Christ, who is the true shepherd. Peter writes in his first epistle, the elders which are among you I exhort, I'm also an elder, he says, take the oversight of the flock, the church, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, he says, but of a ready mind. In other words, you are serving the Lord Christ, he goes on to say. What you do it to God, because of your love for him and your love for the sheep. But the hireling, sadly, it's sad that Jesus would even have to mention this, because obviously he's not just talking about sheep and shepherds or pseudo-shepherds, but this is an illustration of what happens within the flock of the Christians.
Yeah, the body of Christ.
Yeah. Paul, in Acts 20, remember from Miletum, he calls the elders of Ephesus, and tremendous passage. His last words spoken, he wrote to them later, but these are the last oral words of Paul to these elders. Verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about. Israel, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophets, take the rabbis, the leaders, the priests of Israel to task. And they say, you have not fed the flock of God. You have starved them, or you've given them poison. You've led them astray, and so forth. For I know this, after my departing, that's after his death, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So Paul is talking about false shepherds too, and we have them in the church in abundance, sadly.
Yeah, Dave, Paul lived at a time in which he didn't have Christian media, Christian radio, Christian TV, and so on. And I mention this because my heart goes out to good shepherds, pastors who are doing everything they can to go by God's word, to really feed his sheep, as Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Yet what they're up against is just unbelievable, because before their congregation, they may speak, well, probably the average now is 45 minutes on a...
Ooh, that's long.
Okay, on a Sunday. And then maybe the pastor gets another, maybe an hour, Wednesday evenings and so on. And probably a small part of the congregation shows up for the midweek service and so on. Now, during that time, these sheep are being fed by all these others out there, whether it be on TV or radio, magazines, and so on. Mm-hmm. And they can't even figure out where they're getting their information from in terms of the discernment and so on. Wow. Now, Paul said that he wept night and day over this concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a difficult situation.
Yeah, not easy for the pastor or teaching elder to straighten out on a Sunday morning in a few minutes all the heresy that they've been absorbing during the...
And some of it's just by osmosis. They're not even thinking it through, just letting it come in.
I remember the first and only time I was ever invited to the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters. That must be 20 years ago at least. They didn't invite me back. They wanted me to speak to the...
Well, Dave, I know what your message was. I can understand why. Tell them the name of your talk.
Well, no, they wanted me to speak to the television owners and managers. And I just mentioned, I said, you know, Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. And I said, you know, supposing Hymenaeus and Philetus had a worldwide television ministry today, and they weren't overthrowing the faith of some, they're overthrowing the faith of multitudes, what would you do? How do you police your ranks? How do you correct one another? There's dead silence. They don't correct one another. This is why we have so much heresy on radio and television.
And that was 20 years ago, and it's worse beyond belief.
They get together for their, well, National Religious Broadcasters Convention every year. Do they tell one another, hey, wait a minute, we've got some false teachers out there. Brethren, we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to be true to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We've got to earnestly contend for the faith. Are there exhortations about that? No, it's popularity and who has the biggest audience. Robert Shuler has the largest television audience out there, as far as we know, on more than 170 TV stations around the world, or maybe that's just in America, and says that, well, more than a million Muslims and thousands of pastors and hundreds of rabbis listen to him every week. You can imagine what kind of a message you could bring. that rabbis love it, and Muslims love it, and evangelical pastors love it. What kind of compromise is this? You would have to really be brilliant to walk that thin line, but you're not going to be true to the Word of God. So I think we have some hirelings. I think we have some people who are in it, not just for money, but for popularity, for power, to be well thought of and well spoken of, mm-hmm. who are serving men and themselves rather than God. And Jesus lays it out pretty clear. He says, I give my life for my sheep. And if you are going to be true under shepherds under me, you would give your life too. And you would say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And now the true shepherd is leading me. And going back to Acts 20, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So he's saying Jesus is God. And he purchased this flock with his own blood. Now you must be true to him. This is what Jesus is saying. I think it's pretty straightforward. Well, Tom, it speaks to my heart. Mm-hmm. And I know it speaks to yours. I mean, the Lord has given us the wonderful privilege of being on the radio. Are we just going to try to build up ourselves and get people to love us and follow us and say nice things about us? Or are we going to be true to the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep?
Dave, I know it's your heart and my heart. As Tozer said, we don't want to be anything more than signposts. We want to point people to God, point people to his word, encourage people to check things out, check out what we say. Get into God's Word. Be a thoughtful Christian. Grow in the faith. That's the only way.
Amen.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can join us. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. The Apostle John, in Revelation 17, describes in detail characteristics of a beast which comes in the last days. Virtually all attention these days is focused on the coming Antichrist, but he is only half the story. Many are amazed to discover that that same passage reveals another mysterious character at the heart of prophecy, a woman who rides the beast. Who is this woman? John depicts her as a false church, which will be a partner of the Antichrist. Tradition says she is connected with the Church of Rome, but isn't such a view outdated? After all, today's Vatican is eager to join hands with Protestants worldwide. We are told the Catholic Church has changed. Or has it? In A Woman Rides the Beast, prophecy expert Dave Hunt sifts through biblical truth and global events to present a well-defined portrait of this woman and her powerful place in the Antichrist future empire. 8 remarkable clues in Revelation prove the woman's identity beyond any reasonable doubt. Was John describing the Church of Rome? To answer this question, Dave has spent years in historical research, primarily from Catholic sources, and provides indisputable documentation. Video host, author, and lecturer Dave Hunt.
There's over 500 pages and about 800 footnotes, I think, of documentation that will surprise perhaps even Catholics as well as non-Catholics as to the official teaching and practices of the Roman Catholic Church, its history, what it really has stood for and stands for today. I'm not making it up. I think it is worthwhile. I think it is something you need to read.
A Woman Rides the Beast. The book and the video are available from the Berean Call. Information on how to order in just a moment. And now, to tell you more about our ministry, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
The name The Berean Call is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, where we find the Apostle Paul entering the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea after he had just come from Thessalonica. To these Bereans, he preached that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah sent from God. They were commended for being noble or fair-minded, not only for their willingness to hear what Paul had to say about the matter, but more specifically because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not what the apostle was saying was found in God's Word. Our prayer is that we can be used of God to stimulate Christians to look to the Bible alone as their rule of faith, authority, and practice in living lives pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Gary?
If you are a serious student of God's Word, we offer many materials that you'll find helpful. From books and tracts to video and audio tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and much more. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0822. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Dave and Tom will continue their series of programs based on Dave Hunt's book, In Defense of the Faith, and Binding Our Hometown Evil Spirits. In Religion in the News, a yogi says he can save the world for $1 billion. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, did Paul preach that all gods are the same on Mars Hill? We hope you can tune in. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for joining us, and we invite you to tune in again next week. In the meantime, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.